April 9, 1865. General Robert E. Lee just surrendered his 28,000 troops, as well as the Confederate capital of Richmond, to the Union General Ulysses S. Grant, ending a seemingly endless, bloody Civil War. The Confederacy just days before had suffered a substantial loss at the Battle of Sailor's Creek, with over 6,000 Confederates taken as prisoners of war. The tension was high as the Confederacy began to accept defeat. This defeat made Confederate and pro-slavery advocate John Wilkes Booth, who had a plan to kidnap the Union president, opt for a more extreme plan. April 14, 1865. The Union is in high spirits while the Confederacy is dealing with the loss of the war. Abraham Lincoln is anticipating this day. He cannot wait to see our American cousin at Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C. On the other hand, John Wilkes Booth is preparing his new plan to save the Confederacy. Booth has written a letter to his mother describing his motives behind his plan to kill President Abraham Lincoln, Secretary of State William H. Seward, and the Vice President Andrew Johnson. By 7 o'clock p.m., John Wilkes Booth had just gone over the final plan with Lewis Powell, who was assigned to kill the Secretary of State in his home, and George Asdrott, who was assigned to kill the Vice President in his home. And at around 9 o'clock, Abraham Lincoln arrived at Ford's Theater. As Lincoln, his wife, bodyguard, Major Henry Rathbone, and Rathbone's wife arrived at the theater, the actors on stage paused and the live band began to play Hail to the Chief. All of the theater attendants began to applaud for the president as he took a seat on a specially selected rocking chair in the box. The audience was in awe that the president that had just won the Civil War was sitting in the same room as them.
The date was April 14th, 1865, the day that would change everything. Despite being a Confederate, John Wilkes Booth lived in the North throughout the Civil War. Coming from a family of prominent actors, he followed in their footsteps and had a thriving career of his own. He earned about $20,000 a year, compared to the average annual Northern family salary of $300 at the time. As an avid supporter of slavery, his hatred for Lincoln was indisputable. He organized a group of conspirators plotting to murder the president with numerous failed attempts. "I will stop at nothing to destroy Lincoln and his men," he thought. It was 6 p.m. where he entered the theater. He tampered with the outer door. That way, it would stay shut from the inside. It was the third act, and Lincoln was in the presidential box, completely unguarded. The play was going fairly well. The war was over. For a brief moment in time, there wasn't the recurring stress of presidential duty. Booth entered the box, his eyes lingering at his one and only target. He cocked his .44 caliber and pointed it straight towards him. A swift shot to the head. Shortly thereafter, there was a brawl between Booth and Union Officer Madge. The audience seemed fairly intrigued. It wasn't until moments after when they realized that this wasn't part of the play. The smell of iron and blood arose in the atmosphere as Booth swooped himself over the balcony and landed on the stage with an echoing thump. His left leg was broken. "Sic semper tyrannis," he yelled, Latin for "thus always the tyrants." Even though he was injured, he was successful in his escape. Booth fled to Maryland with one of his co-conspirators, David Harold. They hid near the bushes at the Zequia Swamp for hours. Days. 12 days specifically had passed since the assassination when Booth heard footsteps. The footsteps of the Union soldiers. They had found him in a tobacco barn. This wasn't the end. It couldn't be the end. "I surrender! I come forward!" cried Harold. Booth, on the other hand, was not going to give up that easily. Whipping out his match, he set the barn to flames. All of a sudden, a gunshot. Just like that, Booth collapsed to the floor, dead.
Abraham Lincoln was an abolitionist, as well as an advocate for the preservation of the Union in the Civil War. John Wilkes Booth, on the other hand, was a Confederate and an anti-abolitionist, the complete opposite of Lincoln. These two men embodied the tension that ran through the country at the time. Booth's motives were clear for most of the Confederacy, but were dreaded by those rooting for the Union. To this day, Abraham Lincoln is remembered as the person that began the end of slavery in the United States. Although it was controversial, the Emancipation Proclamation was the start of something that would ultimately culminate in a freer nation. The assassination of Abraham Lincoln, although it did not block this path, his death did delay it. John Wilkes Booth's actions serve as a reminder of our free nation and what was sacrificed to get there.